Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, and underneath are his everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my friend, Arlita Winston, mother of 5, grandmother of 16, former missionary, and one of my dearest, close friends from many years ago. Welcome again, Arlita.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Carry on with your story.
Well, I think yesterday we were talking about the vine and the branches and how God had chosen us, not we choosing him. And I've pondered over this metaphor that he used, the vine and the branches, because I think of a vine as the natural habit, growing quickly, luxuriantly wild, trailing here and there wherever it wills. But if the grower wants large and heavy fruit, he doesn't permit it to trail wherever it chooses. It's tied to a stake. Its arms are stretched out crosswise, and it's forced and it's bound, giving up its natural ways and submitting to the fruit-producing process. And I've wondered, how do I submit to this fruit-producing process if I am wanting to bring fruit to my Lord? And I think, as I've pondered over this, the first thing is relinquishment. Relinquishment of my natural rights as a vine to just grow where I want to grow. Placing myself on that stretched out cross and even my fruit on the altar. And as we hold out our arms, relinquishing our way of doing things, we then accept something far greater than what we ever gave up. And that is the acceptance of God's purposes in our life. Fruit resulting. I think of Mother and Daddy in Sumatra in those jungles where they were reaching the tribes that were formerly headhunters and cannibals called the Kubus. And I think of how Mother and Daddy had just barely gotten there. And their co-workers, my Uncle Hubert and his wife, Aunt Helen, went through agony as Aunt Helen died in childbirth. And now my mother was the mother of 6 young children under the ages of 9 there in the jungles, where she said we often had to bathe 4 times a day. We were right off the equator and the heat was so intense.
But 6 children, how many were hers?
Well, 2 were hers, my sister and myself, and then my Uncle Hubert's 4 children, one of which was the brand new born baby. Aunt Helen had died just hours after Jean had been born. So now Mother had 6 children to take care of, and here she had come to the mission field to tell others about Jesus, and now she was left taking care of 6 children, while her husband and her brother would trek into the jungles weeks at a time to find the Kubus to tell them about the good news of the gospel. And so I think of Mother and the kind of relinquishment, that vine with her arms pulled out and bound tightly to a stake in order to bear fruit. And I've thought, what kind of fruit did she produce? Mother told me of a time of agony that she was going through shortly after Aunt Helen's death, where she was trying to be mother to all 6 children and very, very close to her brother in his time of need and bereavement, losing his dear wife, Helen, plus being wife to her own husband, David. And she didn't know how to stretch herself far enough to meet all the needs. And she was angry, I think, a bit with God. And one day she just fled to the grave where Helen had been buried. And she wept on that grave. And she said, God, there is no way I'm seeing your will being done here on earth like it's being done in heaven. And the Lord spoke to her and said, is my will being done here on earth as it is in heaven? And she says, no, I don't see it at all. Not one bit. And he said, is your sister Helen in heaven seeing the will of God being worked out? And she said, yes. And he said, well, how did she get to heaven? Well, she died. And the Lord said, if you want to see the will of God being done on earth, just as your sister Helen is seeing it done in heaven, you need to die. Now, you need to die to the ideas that you think have to be your way of doing things. Now, I want you to go back and I want you to confess to your husband David that you have been trying to be too much. You have not been a wife totally to him. You have not been giving yourself to him. And I want you to confess that and die to your own self. This is what relinquishment means. Relinquishing of your own ideas, ways of doing things, and submitting to that fruit-producing process. Mother obviously had a deep love, an attachment to her brother Hubert, but she had to come to the place where she realized that she couldn't do what only God could do for Hubert. And she needed to pay attention to her God-given responsibility as wife and mother to her own family and do what she could, but then relinquish what needed to be done in Hubert's family to God and God's Spirit. And as she did this, she began flowing. She went back and Daddy took her in his arms and understood completely as she wept and told him how sorry she was for trying to command and take charge of the whole situation and do everything for everybody. I think so often the fruit that we offer to God, we try to stay in control of how that fruit is to be used, and we need to just relinquish it and leave it up to God as to how he uses it. And let people go through pain and let God deal with that pain instead of us trying to fix it all the time.
Probably one of the most difficult lessons for all of us, isn't it, Arlita, that not everything is fixable. Mm. And God has not made very many things our business. Mm-hmm. The older I get, the more I realize that not many things are my business. And what is my business is God assigned, and I have to be faithful to him. I think that's probably one of the most important lessons your mother learned as a missionary.
I think, Betty, that sometimes when we have the gospel in our hearts and we know that Jesus Christ can meet all of our needs, we're so tempted to feel that we can fix everything, that we have the answer for everybody. And we don't leave room for God to do his work in that other person. We try to break them free from the cocoon far too early instead of letting them struggle and get to know God alone, themselves, and let God pour that grace into them. Let God pour the instruction. We're either too hard or too soft on the other person that we're trying to work with, but we feel that somehow we have to have all the answers, and we don't. Mother learned that story back when I was a little girl, a very young girl. But I know she'd learned that story thoroughly because years later, when I was in my 30s and I had gone through a very traumatic 4 years of being alienated from God, alienated from my family, I was slowly coming back to God, and Mother came to stay with us and to help me with the children. And I shall never forget watching her go through her days, mopping my floor, helping fix the supper, playing with the children, and not once did she preach to me any gospel. Not one word did she try to put down my throat on what I should be doing to come back to God. Not one word did she do. And that 3 weeks she stayed with me, I was astonished because my mother, who always had the right words to say, only said to me just before she left, she said, Arlita, remember, without a true death, there can be no resurrection. And I thought of that over and over afterwards, thinking she had been so restrained for 3 weeks. She had said nothing to me about what I should do in coming back to God. She gave me no scripture verses. She did nothing but serve me and love me and serve me and love me and win me. And then she admonished me with, you can't have a true resurrection without a true death. And it was just enough to let me know, Arlita, the way back to God is through dying.
What a lesson for all of us. Thank you, Arlita. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.